So the title for the talk this afternoon is called A Cure for Sadness. And I'm not the one who made up this title, so. Mirabai, who was a saint from India, one of the biggest woman saints of India. She was totally just crazily in love with God, so she could not stop herself from singing the whole time to God. She says, "I know a cure for sadness. Let your hands touch something that makes your eyes smile. I bet there are 100 objects close by that can do that. Look at beauty's gifts to us. Her power is so great that she makes alive the earth, the sky, our soul. Let your hands touch something that makes your eyes smile." I feel many times when we see sadness come, when we feel sadness, when we are in touch with something that is going on inside us, we tend to try to fix it. We tend to come to our, let's say, limited way of seeing the situation and try to find a way to fix it. Sadness should not be there. Angriness should not be there. Getting upset, tiredness should not be there. Therefore, we have to fix it. We have to find a way to get rid of sadness, angriness, upsetness. Why? Why are we so sure that that should not be there? This is my question to myself and to all of us. When we see ourselves and when we experience ourselves in a limited terms, kind of being absolutely sure that about how things should be, just because they have been like this the last 40 years, or just because this is what all the neighbors say, this is like this, life is like this. Of course, when we see life as something limited, then things need to get repaired. Things have to be as we think they should be. Otherwise, we have a problem. We are not how we're supposed to be. But what about finding a place where there is vastness? What about finding a place that is unlimited? And therefore, everything is invited there. What we think supposed to be and what we don't want to be? Why not a place where we can just be? However we are. No matter how many millions of thoughts are going on. And of course, all of them forbidden ones. All of them not about Buddha's grace or the touch of the angels or things like that. I feel there is a way, there is a moment that is actually every single moment where we can actually choose the vastness or choose the limited. And of course, when I say the word choose, it does feel like the way we choose usually, which is there is this black and this red, and then red will be better for this and this and this and this, and black will be better for this and this and this and this. But actually choose. There is black, there is red. We wait. We listen. And then somehow the hand moves towards one of them. A connected choice, a choice from the heart. I feel in every movement we actually choose to move towards light or to move towards death. And of course we can come up with many, many reasons why we choose to do this or we choose that. But ultimately, it's possible to choose for life. Some people in the group interview, and also like many times when we are in a retreat situation, many, many people express this fear of the not knowing. Fear of falling into a place where we don't know what's going on. We have no clue what's going on. And that is scary. I'm not saying this should not be scary. That is scary. But that doesn't mean that this is bad or that that is wrong. It's scary because we don't know. Because we don't have the solution. Because we don't have the memory reference of what to do in that situation. It feels to me that there is a moment also when somehow we have to start living from a place which is alive. A place which doesn't rely on memory, basically. And of course it seems impossible because almost everything we do relies on memory. On our kind of pot or box of experiences, past experiences. And then whatever we face in that moment, we just go to that box and pick, you know, like the computer. That happened such and such day. Ah, and I did that. So I must do that again. How to live from a place which is not led by memory, which is actually alive. That wants courage. That wants a huge yes for life. And even if we don't know what that yes for life means, it's possible to start trying to whisper or to scream this yes for life. And probably that will unfold and lead us to places that we would not ever guess. This is what I call transformation. Everything we imagine will happen is imagination. That's all. But when we are open to life, then there is no way that our imagination, our guess of what will happen, will actually match the reality. And this is the power of life, the amazingness of life. That which comes, and that we were not expecting that. That which comes and is bigger than our plans, bigger than our creativity or possibility of imagination. And it's amazing how life is again and again this constant surprise. And it's amazing how we try again and again to live the life, to refer life to what we know, to that which is so-called safe. I remember when I was smaller, that I would just feel like so deep inside, yes, I see that the sun every day comes. I see that. Like, no one single day the sun didn't come. Like, below or above the clouds, but the sun is there. But still I was feeling, but still no one in this world can promise me that tomorrow the sun will come. So this capacity that it feels that as we grow up we kind of lose, but this capacity for just not taking everything for guaranteed. This capacity of waking up and having no clue what the day will bring to us. And this doesn't need necessarily to be scary. Actually, this is life. What happens is that somehow we manage to believe that we know what will happen today. Imagination, life. What will actually happen, will happen, we have no clue of. So how would it be like to live with vastness? Not from a narrow place, but embracing whatever comes. That which we like and that which we don't like. And I think this has a lot to do with our business here, our meditation here. We would love somehow just to learn a technique, to memorize it, to know it from the beginning to the end, and just follow that, being absolutely sure that we got it, and being absolutely sure of where this is leading me. And I think I will be never be tired of repeating this. This is not possible. Life is alive. And it doesn't need to be bad news, the fact that we cannot just take on a technique and knowing what will happen from the beginning to the end. To me, this is good news. That life is so alive that there is no way to catch it. There is no way to put it in a box. So what about being alive with life? I know this, I know I'm asking a lot, but it feels to me that there is no other way. Being alive with life actually means that life is asking us to be involved in what we do. It's not enough just to keep on doing in the old ways we have been doing. It's not enough just imagining what will happen and just go with that. But actually being present in whatever is. And that means that there is no way to, you know, in America, and I think here also, you have these cars that you put one gear, no? Automatic. You put one, and then you go forever with this one, no? Like in Spain, this is not. You have to keep on changing, and then, you know, like this kind of noises sometimes. So, so like, this is like what cannot be, like, there is no way, this would be our dream, but there is no way that we can just kind of put this one gear and then go the whole way with this gear, you know. There is no way that we put this gear and then we just kind of can distract ourselves like just listening music or looking at the countryside, you know. Like, in this coming to ourselves or becoming fully human or living with life, whatever you want to call it, this is totally necessary. This totally asks us to be with, to be present in whatever we do, to be alive. And this moment needs this gear, and the next moment will need the next gear. And we can take it as a, oh no, my God, now that I thought I got it, I have to change it. It's a terrible kind of heavy news. But we can actually take it as, this is enjoyable. I walked this part of the way. I walked up to here with this technique, with this way of living. And now life is asking me for a change. Why not? This is beautiful. So this courage to be alive is needed. There is not enough in listening other voices. But really, deep inside, finding that which we love to do. Why not? That which speaks to us, and following that. Who cares if the neighbor likes it or not? Following that. It feels to me, and every time I say it, I feel kind of tickling inside. But it feels to me that by following life, we have everything to win and nothing to lose. So it's simple, you know. I know it's not simple, but ultimately, saying yes to life, the only thing can happen is that we actually end up being alive. Nothing to lose. Well, we can lose the description of ourselves, that kind of which we thought we were. Not much. Who cares? That which we thought we were. And everything to win. Of course, this process of becoming alive is not suddenly we decide, we agree, and that's all. It asks us to actually love the process itself. If we are here and we want to be there, but we hate the way, then it's kind of difficult. But if we are here and we know we are made to be there, to put it in words, and we find a way to love the way, then it's a huge party, day and night. It's such a good news. I feel also it's important to connect with that which we have been protecting. It's not that we don't say yes to life because we don't want to. There is something, I would say, like some kind of vulnerable child, or something vulnerable, sorry my English, inside that we have been feeling through all our life that we have to protect. So it's not that I'm saying it's wrong whatever we have been doing up to now. I'm saying it's possible to change that. But also it's beautiful to understand that we have been protecting ourselves. And as far as I could see, that protection of ourselves comes out of love. So we actually have been choosing this limitation instead of this vastness because of the sense of protecting ourselves, that which is vulnerable. So it's nothing wrong even in that no to life. It's just that it's not that this is wrong, but we can live saying yes to life if we want to. And it's necessary many times to understand which things in us, which parts of us are wounded, are sensitive, and to take care of that. Many mystics speak about the lamp that is burning without fuel. And this is an image that really can speak to us. Up to now, or usually in our lives, we really believe that we are because we protect ourselves. Otherwise, we will not manage to be. So, what about letting this lamp keep on burning without us needing to protect ourselves? What is there to protect? What are we afraid of? What had harmed us that we need to be so careful? That actually keeps us from living. So it doesn't need to be a sudden jump, but can be a source or a space of reflection. What is there to protect? What I'm afraid of. And seeing if it's possible to give space to that, not to throw that away, but just to give space to that, to invite that suffering, that sadness, that fearfulness to be. She says, I won't take no for an answer. God began to say to me, when he opened his arms each night, waiting us to to dance, wanting us to dance. I will try again. I won't take no for an answer. God began to say to me, when he opened his arms each night, wanting us to dance. So this moment also comes when we actually know that there is no escape. God won't take no as an answer. If he asks, he, she asks you to dance all night. So there is no way to run away. Some people also were expressing this feeling. I wish I could escape from here, from this place, from the retreat, in other words. And at the same time saying, but I actually know that there is nowhere to escape. There is a moment where there is no escape. And that doesn't need to be tragic. I remember, though, I was like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, like 18, 19, and I was practicing Zen since I was 16. And one day, like, I was meditating and I felt somewhere, like, inside, very kind of huge space, and that scared me so much, you know. And, you know, in Zen there is a whole ritual, then you have to follow everything, you know, it's really, like, organized. So I just jump all these supposed rituals, and I went like straight to my Zen master and I just hugged her, and I was crying so much, you know, you don't do this in Zen tradition. So I was like, I remember I was hugging her and crying so much that all, like, all her shirt was totally wet, you know. And she was saying, what happened? And I was just saying, like, there is no way back. There is no way back. So this is what happened, you know. Sometimes surprises us, and sometimes it comes slowly, but at some point we discover that there is, it's like, sorry, but there is no way back. You know, that's why it's kind of dangerous, actually, to come to a retreat. We say, come, we will have fun, you know. Like, I'm sure Dana was saying, come, it's very nice, you know. These two women coming from India, whatever. And, you know, and suddenly, we were not, kind of, no one told us that this can happen, you know. And then, who is going to save us from that, you know. So this happens. When there is no way back. And usually we fight this, sometimes for years, wanting to go back to the old, to that which is known to us, till we relax, till we actually accept. Why not to be alive? Why not to say yes to life? And then we start to feel this yumminess, this kind of, you know, so good when we allow ourselves to relax, to embrace that yes to life. When we stop fighting ourselves and trying to run away. Then transformation has a cooking pot. Then things start to surprise us, start to change, start to fall into a place. And we start to actually understand things also. There is this word in Sanskrit that I just love. And this word is di, di. And di means wisdom with light. In Sanskrit is amazing because every single word for like, let's say like for love, how many words we have? Like 1, 2, 3? In Sanskrit maybe we have like 20 words. For meditation, hundreds. So it's so rich that actually it's so accurate. It really, there is a word for every specific part of the process. Every single feeling, way of being has a word. So it's so rich, so amazing. And this di is not only wisdom, it's not only light, it's wisdom with light. And somehow it seems like, but of course, it needs to be a word that says wisdom and light together, that expresses that together. And this wisdom with light is something totally, totally individual. In the sense, individual in the sense that we cannot get it from somewhere else other than from ourselves. We cannot get this wisdom with light from a book, from a teacher, from a film, from music, from nothing. Is this wisdom with light that is inside, that speaks to us, that whispers to us, if we give space for that. And there is this one mantra. Mantra is kind of a, let's say, to put it easy, kind of a sentence that is meant to be repeated again and again so that the mind can get to sleep and that we can be taken over by those words that usually are towards God or towards a specific loving feeling. And this mantra, which is a very powerful mantra, or a very kind of hidden mantra because of the power that has in it, this mantra says, this light, this di, this wisdom with light, I marry. And I pray so that being with this light, this being with this light, will whittle away all darkness. So the love of being with this wisdom, with this inner wisdom, has the power. It's not that we need to find out what's going on. It's not that we need to analyze and make sure that we know in which part of the process we are in. I know this is difficult for us Westerners, but this simple fact of being with this wisdom, of being with the light, this has the power. So how we can find ways to actually rest in this vastness, rest in this light, in this whisper. So that this can flower and slowly, slowly take over our lives. Can whittle away everything which is not light, everything which is heavy, so that we can shine, that we can be ourselves fully. And that that wants, that asks us for a huge trust in life, trust in the process itself. It can be easier if we actually know where we are in each second of the process. But sometimes it's not easy when we don't know where we are, when we don't have words, when we don't feel an actual progress. Many times it feels like losing time. Many times it feels like we are not getting anywhere, nothing is going to change. How boring. But this trust without reason, this has the power. And this takes us. In an alive way, as I was saying before, like not probably not the way we would want, which is straight and clear. We are progressing. This is what we want to know. 4 days, this much progress. 1 week retreat, this much. $100, this much. $200. But actually progressing in a much, much, much subtle and loving way, alive, with fluidity, almost unnoticeable, but actually fully, that actually we can look back and feel that something is different, that this killing sadness is not the main thing in my life. That something took over. That I'm able to breathe. I'm able to take care. Saint Catherine of Siena says, "The sun hears the fields talking about effort, and the sun smiles and whispers to me, 'Why don't the fields just rest? For I'm willing to do everything to to help them grow. Rest, my dears, in prayer. And it feels a huge power in this rest in prayer, which to me has nothing to do with do nothing, but actually resting with this quality of connectedness, of presence. And then nothing else to do. The sun does everything. Why not to let the sun do everything? So if we just sit quietly for a while,